Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Happy New Year, David Slack.
And you, Rachel. And Sarah.
Hey, how's it going?
Never better. Thanks for asking.
Never better. It is a big old year, as everyone's been pointing out. New decade and election year for us in New Zealand. And, of course, over the holidays, lots of things were happening all around the world.
Jesus, get a load of that president, will you?
Aye, man. Should we start with that, or should we start by talking about...
Dispense with it swiftly, because yes. You could dwell on it all day, but we don't want to, eh?
No, exactly. So, US and Iran, what's kind of... been your big takeaways from this? Because I guess we're in sort of a stalemate situation at the moment, just waiting to see what's happening.
Number one, it was exactly a wag the dog scenario that people assumed. You know, he doesn't want attention on this, on the impeachment, so he goes for that. Number two, he doesn't care about what happens to another person in the world, except maybe what happens to a white person if it's adverse affected, carried out by a person of colour. But outside of that, he does not care. So anytime he says he's worried about people elsewhere in the world, don't believe him. Sorry, going off on a rant.
Hey, that's what we're here for.
Number three, the luck of this guy, you know, in the same way that, you know, he remains with his head above water because Deutsche Bank bails him, his father bails him, all of this stuff. In this instance, essentially, nervous people running the controls in Iran have saved him by bringing a catastrophic tragedy to bear, which means that everybody stops and I mean the plane crash, of course.
Yes.
That everybody stops and takes breath, and so this thing that might otherwise have turned into something god awful just kind of
gets pushed aside almost for it sounds like a strange
thing. Sputters out, but which is what both wanted. A bit like, you know, a pub fight where they're both like, let me at him. They're both wanting to be held back.
Where do you think we should be in this? Where do you think New Zealand should be in this? Because I know some people have been criticising the government for maybe being, I think, too timid was possibly the phrase that Robert Pattman used about it.
Yeah, well, you said there's nothing wrong with using strong words, and I'm not sure we've necessarily used words as strong as we could. That would be something. There's not much else we can do apart from words, but don't be afraid, don't be scared to use them.
Exactly. Well, let's talk a little bit about our own country then. What is going on for us this year? It is elections, and it's going to be probably...
I used to look forward to them. and actually, I suppose that might be where the most useful jumping off point. The thing that gives me, you know, great angst now is that you just know that this whole thing has got weaponized by a Facebook algorithm. And so
weaponized.
It's crazy.
You can almost pick the point at which the new social media plan went into effect.
You can, eh?
If you look at people's Facebook presences and Twitter presences as well, and you just go, Jesus.
Yeah, and you're kind of thinking, people, can you not see what's happening here? This is all to make Mark Zuckerberg wealthy. It advances democracy not one metre. Yeah. In fact, it sends it spiralling further, deeper into the swamp. The polarizing effect that it has is just toxic. You end up with people not just disagreeing with the other side, but seeing the other side as demonized. Because that does get demonized, because the algorithm grabs the bits that says these guys are evil and pushes it up to prominence.
What do you think we're going to be seeing from this election? Are we going to be kind of having a dirty fight? Do you think? I hope we're not, but do you think that that's something that's on the cards? Because, of course, we've seen this increasingly overseas. Is that something you're anticipating might be happening in our own political terrain?
Well, it's going to be difficult to avoid, I think. There are a couple of qualifications I'd put on that, and one is that there are people, especially the ones who are, you know, clicking furiously and following that, who just get absolutely absorbed by it and live and breathe it. There's possibly, thanks to social media, a larger proportion being involved in that way than there were in the past. But here's the thing about elections always. A great many people don't care about it that much or get a little intimidated by it because there are people like us who just wonk it all day long and they say, oh, Jesus Christ, don't talk to him about it.
Yeah.
And they just want it to roll along, okay? And so That is why John Key was very popular and was re-elected, and people who were on the other side would say, how can you just be voting for him because you like him?
Right.
These policies aren't working. Well, the same applies here. You've got people who are enraged saying, how can you vote for her just because you like her? Her policies aren't working. Neither of those arguments actually get to the nub of it, because for these people who are voting in that way, mm-hmm. it's more just a kind of a vibe thing, if you like. I think you look like the leader I want. Mm-hmm. I also see, and this is quite important, significant too, everybody else is voting this way, I will too. There really is this instinct in politics for a lot of people to say, I will vote the way other people do.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's not entirely wrong, you know, in things that we don't know well. We sometimes look around and say, what's everyone else doing? I'll do that too, just to, you know, make things work constructively. So this is all by way of saying elections are a weird kind of a proposition.
They certainly are, yeah.
Now, some long distance from rational and logical, but it all somehow magically works. Because this is finding a way of compromising together so mm-hmm. we can all get along even though we don't exactly agree with one another. And that's where you end up.
Yeah.
Now, having said all of that, The biggest question is, you know, does it amount to any sort of change in the election? And I would suggest maybe not, because unless there is an obvious partner emerges for the National Party, even though they've got a really stonking big, maybe 40% of the vote, they cannot get further.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're just absolutely forever nose at the candy shop door
and it's
complaining about politicisation of police or any other bullshit you can dream up, you know.
Kind of interesting, as this is sort of a segue into our last topic as well, but there are some issues that are already kind of making it into the news cycle. They were last year as well, that will obviously be big parts of the election campaigns or discussions around the election, and housing is one that has been rearing its head once again. Prices going up, but also contestion a little bit around what should be done to solve our housing crisis, who's doing enough, who's not doing enough. What are your thoughts on this? Because it's kind of reared back into the public domain in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, sure has. Gary Moore was making a lot of sense yesterday, saying what we need is not people bickering about it, but an overall system that makes this work. He's right as far as it goes, but what he was leaving out of that, I would suggest, is there is this overarching culture about housing and how you use it that mm-hmm. absolutely screws us. And that is this idea that it's this money for nothing wheel that everybody wants to get it. I think, get on. There's an expression we use that I think is absolutely wrong, and that is the housing ladder. You know, as though there is some kind of magical process mm-hmm. by which everybody gets rich for nothing. There's no damn thing.
You're talking about capital gains tax, David.
all roads lead back there. I'm talking about the whole idea that we see this as a means of making money for nothing. I've got this vivid memory from years and years and years ago of my aunt telling me how she advocated to just buy a house, never mind what it costs, because, and this was in the 70s when inflation was just nuts, she said, because by the time you're a few years have gone by, it's not much money at all, and you don't owe the bank that much at all. And I said, oh Christ, you know, yes and no.
Yeah.
What we actually need is a system where the value doesn't keep running away ahead, making it harder and harder and harder, so that we're in those seven vaunted 70s I just mentioned, where I could have bought a house for about three times an annual salary. Somebody of my age then now has to pay 10 times. We're retreating old ground here, but it seems to need to be said again and again and again. And that means that this thing is just getting forever harder, because we're pretending these things are worth more than they are.
You're right.
And that in turn affects everything else. It means that every single shop you go into, they're paying a rent that's maybe five or seven times as much as it ought to be. So what you pay them is more than it ought to be. The whole damn thing, the joint is rigged.
So you're imagining this is going to continue to be a big topic for the rest
unless
of the year.
We get absolute flooding of supply.
Yeah.
And I'm meaning less land, because the land in the equation, because that's the bit that the libertarians and the free marketers leap on and say, oh, we just need to let these cities sprawl and we'd be right. No, bullshit, you don't. What we need is a lot of supply of something. Maybe, yeah. And we're down to apartments now,
mm-hmm.
because that's the one bit that hasn't been profiteered to death yet. So if we can find a model, and then that brings us back around to Gary Moore's proposition, find a model in which you can really flood the market with affordable apartments, and I'm saying 150, 200,000, something like that,
yep.
so that everybody can pile in there, and this market that's just leaped, that is forever lunging ahead, stops yeah. doing that.
Yeah.
You need that to stop, and for that to stop, you need the culture to disappear that says, I'm going to spend 150 today, and in 3 years it's going to be worth 300,000, and I've made 150 for nothing.
Blimey. Just a few easy topics to wake up to.
Back to Trump.
Back to Trump. Just get back to something simple. And that is all before 8 a.m. on a Thursday morning, so thank you very much, David
Slack.
I'm
going for a lie down. What are
yeah,
you doing,
blimey.
Rachel?
I'm going to just play some long songs and mellow out in the background here. Thank you. It's lovely to have you back up, though, and we'll see you in a
Pleasure.
Couple of weeks' time.
Yep.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.
You